The Vet is in here at KFGO. Our phone numbers are 237-5948 and 1-800-880-5346. We have the doctor till 7 o'clock tonight because that's when the NFL football game begins. So if you'd like to call in and have a question for the doctor, please do so, and we'll get you on just as soon as we can. But we have a number of topics that we want to talk about, too, as well, throughout this next 45 minutes or so here on KFGO. So, Dr. Winnie, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
And thank you so much for joining us. You want to start with some zoo diseases? I saw this DZ apostrophe S, and I thought, what does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, diseases.
Yes, I abbreviate, and sorry. It's just a hazard of the profession, I guess.
Zoonotic diseases.
Zoonotic diseases.
That's what I meant, zoonotic diseases.
And zoonotic diseases are diseases that you can catch from your pets or from animals. They can be transferred from animals to people. And the whole thing that sparked this was the newspaper article that I read, was it yesterday morning, talking about different zoonotic diseases for pregnant women to be concerned about. So I thought, well, you know what, let's just talk a little bit about that tonight. And, you know, if there's anybody that has questions about it, we can certainly answer questions, but we'll just touch each little topic.
Now, this is the first time I've ever heard of something like this. Has this come before you at other times?
Yeah.
It does, there, huh?
You know, dealing with animals every day, I'm used to it. Uh-huh. And I'm used to practicing good hygiene. And a lot of this stuff is just, you know, let's just wash our hands. You know, you wash your hands between patients. You certainly wash your hands after you've cleaned up after your pet. And you want to teach your kids, wash your hands after handling their pet. And I don't care if it's a dog or a cat or a guinea pig or a rat. It's the same principle for each pet.
Okay. So where do we start out here first? Let's start with the kitty, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about toxoplasma, because a lot of women know that toxoplasma in cats, you want to maybe have your husband during pregnancy clean the litter box instead of you. Or I know a lot of people that just wear gloves and wash their hands immediately after cleaning out the cat box. So basically what happens is the cats shed the toxoplasma. If they're actively infected, they'll shed the toxoplasma in their stool. It sporulates within 24 to 48 hours and then becomes infective to people after it sporulates. So the key is make sure you're cleaning your cat box at least once a day, if not twice a day, so you can catch it before the sporulation occurs and it becomes contagious. Or have your husband cleaned it out, ideally. Or just wear gloves.
Wish you could have seen the smile on her face there. So in other words, too, then it's obviously a no-brainer that if you're gone for the weekend, the cat is in the home, that's immediate husband's job right
then
and there.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
So next one they had was LCMV. And honestly, I told you before the show, Bob, I hadn't heard of this one before. I had to ask one of my coworkers about it who's younger than I and is more recently out of vet school. She was up to date on this. But basically, LCMV is lymphocytic chorioamnionitis. And your risk of getting this disease from your guinea pig or hamster is pretty low. The prevalence of this disease, the risk is low. But basically what happens is you can get this disease from directly handling your guinea pig or hamster. It's in the small rodents. And so you just want to, the basic recommendation is not handling these if you're pregnant, not handling these small pocket pets and keeping them in a separate room from your bedroom. Apparently some people keep them in their own bedroom. Keep the cage out of your bedroom. And you're more at risk from getting this disease from a house mouse than you are from your guinea pig. Most people, most cases have been documented to be obtained from wild rodents instead of pocket pets.
I guess I should have asked before, but what type of symptoms are we seeing should you catch these?
So for LCMV, it's birth defects and miscarriages mostly. And as far as what kind of symptoms the animals show when they get this, it would be pretty vague, actually. They can get a hunched up appearance. They go off food. Their hair coat gets rough. And they get some discharge and swelling around their eyes. And eventually, they will typically die from it.
Hmm. Now, another one I think you mentioned, too, is salmonella.
Salmonella.
I think that is food, right?
Yeah, basically, salmonella is a bacteria that most, you can pretty much predictably say that salmonella is a contaminant on all reptiles. Mm-hmm. So if you have an iguana or a lizard or a snake, just assume that they're carrying salmonella. You always, always want to wash your hands after handling these animals.
Okay. Now we've talked about some of these diseases, but what if... what if you get scratched?
Yeah, some of the diseases can be transmitted from bodily fluids, bites, scratches. Most of them are transmitted with fecal-oral transmission or just touching, like salmonella, if it's on the skin of a reptile and you touch your mouth, you're going to be exposed to salmonella.
Well, because the feet have been in the litter box, obviously. It can go that way around, too.
Sure.
Very much so. All right. Well, Dr. Doreen Winning is with us here on KFGO. The phone lines are open. We got rid of some of the bad stuff, so we're going to talk chickens here in just a moment. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Tonight's your night. The Vet is in on the Mighty 790 KFGO. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. The Vet is in. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. And by the way, we're going to talk in a little bit about their big Halloween festivities for your pet in just a few minutes. So be wary of that. If you like dressing up your...
It's exciting.
Yeah, dressing up your animal in antlers and booties or whatever. We will talk about that for you here and with you here in just a couple of minutes. When you were here on the Jack and Sandy show a couple of weeks ago, you started on this subject of breeding chickens.
Yes.
Can you do that in town?
Okay. Having pet chickens in the backyard is becoming more and more common in different municipalities around the country. And so reading about this time and time again in some of the vet journals, I thought, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time before some of this starts coming into the Fargo-Moorhead area. So I checked the ordinances. Sure enough, you can have chickens in the city of Fargo. You cannot in West Fargo. It's illegal in West Fargo to have chickens. And Moorhead, I think it's illegal, but I'm not sure. You'd have to check the ordinances. So anyway, I want to talk about it a little bit because I want to make sure people are responsible with having, if you do decide to have backyard chickens, you have to do it responsibly and know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of different breeds of chickens, though.
Right. And I have my favorite breeds.
Okay.
So my favorite is the Leghorn. And they're just those plain, you know, Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
The cartoon
character. So, you know, the plain white chicken with, you know, the red comb. They tend to, they're very, very good egg layers. They are wily. They tend to be able to escape predators better than some of the other breeds. And I say that because... As I've grown up on the farm, we've had chickens, and it was always a free-range, fair game type deal.
Ah, sure, absolutely.
So the beauty of having chickens running around on the farm is that, A, they can run around on the farm. The bad side is yes, sometimes they do succumb to predators. That's just part of the game.
Okay.
So, but Leghorns tend to be good survivors, and I just love them. They lay eggs. They lay a lot of eggs, and they're good chickens.
I should ask you, is there a limit of how many they can have in town?
I didn't see that, but you have to be within so much distance of the nearest structure, your neighbor's structure. And of course, you're going to worry. You don't want to get roosters, people. You don't want to have roosters crowing in your backyard. You're not going to make friends with anybody. And you have to remember that chickens poop all over. And so you have to be very careful about cleaning up after them.
That's one thing we know a lot about on this show is poop. People call about that a lot. So anyway, that sounds like the most common chicken because I've seen those all over the place, the Leghorn.
In some of the other breeds like Buff Orpingtons, those are nice chickens. They perform well in colder climates. They lay nice brown eggs. Barred Rocks laid brown eggs. Rhode Island Reds laid brown eggs. So those are some of my favorites.
Hey, so the difference between white and brown eggs really is nothing.
It's right,
just
it's
the
just
color
the shell. Color, okay. Yeah.
I remember when I was young in my grandparents' cafe, when they got eggs, they must have got them fresh from the farm or something. You had to hold it up to a little light.
Yes.
To make sure there wasn't any type
candling.
Of...
Candling. Yeah, it's called candling.
Any embryo in there, but that's...
Yep, you check for blood spots, too. Sometimes there can be blood spots in your eggs, because when you get eggs at the grocery store, they're already candled. And so they look for any blood spots in there, and they throw away those eggs that have blood spots in them.
Well, let's talk about housing then. How do you store these? Or
so,
where do you put them?
Yeah, so the chickens usually or would ideally be in an insulated shelter because you want your laying coop the temperature of probably about 40 to 75 degrees. And you want to be able to have them go outside, so you kind of want a little run area. And you can buy commercial coops. You can see them online, and McMurray Hatchery has lots of different ideas for coops.
Okay. Now, seriously, how often do they really lay eggs?
Oh, chickens, they can lay eggs probably, they lay a couple eggs a day. And,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you can get a couple nice eggs from, so you don't need very many hands, really.
Okay. Because you're not supposed to have that many anyway, right?
Right.
Good for you, but not that
many. I would
say
a couple hands is more than enough.
Okay. And fencing around the area, too?
Yep, you'd want some fence around there, and sometimes you even want to put fence above. You want a high wire fence on the sides, and then you want to put fencing material above so they can't get out, you know, fly over the fence.
They don't fly great distances.
They don't fly
right?
a great distance, but it's amazing how some of those chickens can go vertical.
Okay, so what's inside the house then? We got to have some kind of nesting?
Yep, you have your nesting box, and usually they're, you know, probably about 14 inches high, 14 inches wide, and 12 inches deep, and you need at least one box for 4 to 5 hens, and they should be 20 inches off the ground. And chickens will usually start laying by the time they're 7 months old.
Really? Wow. That's mm-hmm. interesting. And of course, you got to keep this place clean all the time too.
Right.
Right.
And so really your chicken coop should be thoroughly cleaned, scrubbed out with disinfectant at least twice a year.
Chicken talk here on KFGO. Let's go to the diet. What are you feeding these things?
Okay. So diet, you want, if you get little chicks, you want to get starter rations for up to the first 8 weeks. And then you have laying rations for layers, and you want to supplement with calcium because they obviously need lots of calcium to lay their eggs and get nice shells on the outside of their eggs. And usually we use oyster shells. And you should always have free access to water, and it's that way with any pet. You just want to make sure they always have water available. And then sometimes you have to put additives in the feed if you need to medicate them for any specific purpose, but you always want to keep in mind that there are withdrawal times. So basically you may not, if you have some sort of medication in the feed, you may not want to eat those eggs for a certain period of time, and each medication is different for withdrawal.
So medication, what would chickens need
they
medication
can get,
for?
They can get different parasites, like coccidia is probably one of the most common ones. And, you know, there's various other, sometimes there's antibiotics that we put in their feed.
Mm-hmm. Can they get that salmonella that we were talking about with cats and stuff?
Well, and you certainly worry about that, you know, because you know eating raw eggs can cause salmonellosis. And so absolutely, positively, you never want to eat raw eggs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just practice good hygiene.
What is this pecking you say here?
Well, one of the problems that we see in the winter, especially when the chicken coops are closed up more during the day, is pecking. They'll peck at each other, and it's usually a husbandry-related issue. So either you have overcrowding or dirty environment or something that's causing stress in those chickens, and they actually start pecking each other.
Oh, wow. And that can be very... I mean, there's no death or anything, but they can cause some problems, obviously.
Chickens can do a lot of damage to each other.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to take a brief break here for the news. We'll talk about the eggs themselves here in just a couple of minutes. Dr. Doreen Winning is our special guest tonight. The Vet is In. Phone. Back we are. The Vet is In on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. Our phone numbers again, 237-5948. And 1-800-880-5346. Or you can email us, as this person did, at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. And before we get to back to the chickens and with the eggs here, says here, my friend has a small poodle which throws up nearly every day. He seems healthy in every other way, playful and energetic. He's been being fed Beneful. Is that the name of a brand of food?
Dog food, yeah.
Beneful for small dogs. Any ideas?
So... one thing I always wonder about in these pets is there's some sort of dietary intolerance. So I would try changing foods around a little bit and seeing if there's any particular food that works better for him. And if you've manipulated his diet and things don't change, probably should have him seen by a veterinarian, and they can run some diagnostic tests and make sure there's nothing wrong with that tummy.
I'm not familiar. Is Beneful a a specific science type dog food or anything on the shelf? Or?
It's a brand of dog food, you know, and basically there's, you know, millions of other kinds of dog foods. You can try something else.
Okay, very good. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Got a caller on the line on a cell call, and let's go to the caller right now. Hi, you're on with Dr. Doreen Winning here at KFGL. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good evening. Last week, or maybe it was the week before, wife and I found a deer tick embedded into the head of my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was probably there for, you know, a very long, maybe a day or two. It was on there long enough to be pretty big and fat. But I did a little, you know, online investigation because, of course, everything online is accurate.
don't we know that?
Oh, yeah.
So I just, you know, and I wasn't on there probably more than a day or two. I'm just wondering if you think we need to be worried about that, or do you think Lyme disease, or do you think, or is there a test for that?
Right. And do you have your dog on a tick prevention?
Yeah, we were doing front line, but we had stopped because we thought we normally run it up, you know, through September, and typically don't use it in October, but we put some on now. We went and got some more, so.
So Frontline is good, and when Frontline first came out, you know, that was a godsend. But now I feel like there's other products that will kill ticks faster and that are just as cheap, if not cheaper, than Frontline. So
okay.
Vectra, or my favorite is Peristar Plus, and they basically it takes about 48 hours for the tick to transmit Lyme disease. So you want to have something that kills before 48 hours, and Frontline doesn't always do that. So that's step number one. Step number two is you've already got a tick that's been embedded. Just have your dog tested for Lyme disease. Have a blood parasite screening.
Okay. Is this something I should do right away or wait a little while?
Probably about a month afterwards. So I've seen anywhere from 30 to 60 days after your tick.
Just have to ask you, Paul, are you pretty confident you got it all?
We didn't find any more, and I didn't find any other dog. Mm-hmm. I was talking with my neighbors, and we live up in North Moria, not all that far from you, Bob. And really surprised to find it. I talked to my neighbor who brings his dog to the lakes all summer, and he said they found some earlier this summer on their dogs. I'm just assuming that my neighbor brought them home for us to enjoy. Oh, but
that was nice.
That was neighborly.
Well,
yeah, you know, it's great to have neighbors like that.
And we've been seeing, like last year, we saw deer ticks up through November. So, you know, it's possible, especially if you're going into areas of Minnesota, keep your tick prevention on through November.
All right, Paul, hope that helps you out. Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. And always we have a little smart Alex says, caller wants to know if the chicken or the egg came first. Ba-dum-bump.
Hi-oh.
Hey. We're talking about chickens.
Well, do we know which came first?
Everybody's looking at me.
Dr. Winning, do you have any research on that?
I don't.
Oh.
I'm open for suggestions.
Bring that back next month, okay?
Yeah, I'll check up on that.
All right, let's talk about the eggs themselves. If you have chickens that are producing eggs, what's the proper way to handle them?
So you want to collect your eggs at least once a day, if not twice a day. And you want to clean them with a fine cloth, sandpaper, fine sandpaper, not coarse sandpaper, or a sponge that you can sanitize.
Yeah, no 40 grit, okay?
Yeah, that's right. We don't want to glaze away the shell. If you need to sanitize your eggs, you just want to mix 1 tablespoon of bleach to 1 gallon of water and then set them out and let them dry before you refrigerate them. And then, of course, always, always refrigerate the eggs.
Yeah, refrigerate, not freeze, refrigerate.
That's correct.
I know some people who like to, you know, like make eggs. I think it was one of my older aunts like to put them in the freezer for some reason, but that's no good.
I've never done that.
Okay. Well, that's
if somebody has done that,
she's old, so I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe there's probably a lot of people out there that know a lot more about eggs than I do, and no doubt they have a lot of success at raising their chickens and getting lots of wonderful eggs. So if you have suggestions, just call in and we'll take them.
And if you have chickens in town, how many do you have? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, see, I still believe you shouldn't have more than a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And every fall, it doesn't matter what species it is, whether it's dogs, cats, whatever, there's an influx into the pound during the cold weather. And so I just foresee this happening with chickens. You know, people get them in the summer. All's great during the summer months. You're collecting your eggs, and then here comes 20 below weather, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go out and clean out the chicken coop. But, you know, and they just discard the chickens. You can't do that. If you get a chicken, you have to take care of it. It's called animal husbandry. You take care of them and follow through with your commitment.
Quarter before the hour. When we come back, I know there's been a lot of response on our shows. Also understand you've heard a lot about the deaths of all the cattle in that terrible storm we had earlier this month. We'll talk about that with Dr. Doreen Wenning, plus your phone calls when we come back here on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
You guys have way too much fun here.
Funny you show on radio, I tell everybody.
Yeah, yeah. You know why? Because we care.
We do care.
Nobody
listens when I say that, but I still tell them that.
Dr. Doreen Wenning is with us here on KFGO. The vet is in. And once again, the number is 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Call now. Don't be bashful, because we get so many calls like 5 minutes before the hour. They all like fill up and then we can't get to all of them.
Right.
So if you can, call right now. The cattle deaths in South Dakota, parts of western North Dakota. There's been a lot of people saying different things about this. And I know you've heard a lot about this, too. But this was 6 feet of snow, for crying out
loud. Right. And a lot of my clients are asking me about this. And so I thought, you know, let's talk about it. And if people have questions, just give us a call and we'll try to answer them to the best of our ability. But basically, what people are asking me is, didn't they know, and why couldn't they prepare for this storm? And no, they didn't know exactly how severe this storm was going to be until about a day or two beforehand. So they didn't know that they were going to get rain plus 30 plus inches of snow. So that played into it. And also, when you have hundreds and hundreds of head of cattle on open range, you can't just round them up in 2 hours and take them home. Because first of all, in this terrain, in the western part of North Dakota and South Dakota, you can't just take a four-wheeler in a lot of these places. You have to go horseback. And I can tell you from the land I own that has cattle on it, the man who has his cattle there doesn't just come in an hour have all, you know, 200 head of cattle rounded up in trailers and back home. So it takes a lot of planning. It takes days to get these animals back to a home range. They don't have, you know, why couldn't, the other question I get is, why couldn't they just put them in the barn? They don't have barns. There are no barns. You know, there are barns for, you know, a few cattle at a time, but there aren't barns for 800 head of cattle at a time. There just aren't. So what the ranchers do is they have summer range that they put their cattle on, and then they have a winter range. They aren't ready, and by the time the storm came, this was an early winter storm, they weren't ready to take those cattle yet to the winter range. Because once they get to the winter range, they have to start feeding them hay, and you have a certain amount of hay supply that needs to last you all winter. Mm-hmm. And so you try to get the most out of your grazing land, the summer grazing land that you can. So usually they wait till later in the fall to take these animals to the winter range. So they weren't there. They were in their summer range, and they were more exposed to elements for that reason.
And plus, we didn't mention either, but they had 60-mile-per-hour winds?
Yes, yes.
And that is tough to round up cattle when that's happening, too.
And the cattle wander. They get caught in the fences. They get stuck. They might lay down because of the winds, and they get snowed in. So,
got a couple of callers here. Mike is on the line with Dr. Doreen Wenning here on KFGO. Go ahead, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, no question. I called in earlier, and I kind of want to reiterate, you talked about candling the egg.
Yes.
And the reason that, you know, candling, you're checking for that blood spot in there.
Right.
If that's in there, they don't have to throw that egg away. You know,
right.
Once you crack that, put it in the pan, you can take a spoon and dig it out of there. But if you leave it in there, it doesn't hurt.
I absolutely agree with you, and I know my mom, when she cracks her farm eggs, she'll crack them into another bowl, and she'll dig the blood spots out, and to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me, especially when I'm making something and putting it into a batter, like a cake batter or something. Honestly, it really doesn't bother to me. It's just protein to me, so,
yeah.
You know.
And really what causes that
if you don't have roosters, chances are you, and you don't have pets that are going to chase the chickens around. That's where that comes from, generally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, like I mentioned earlier, that gentleman that called in about the ticks, the chickens do like to eat the ticks, so it's kind of good tick control there.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I did want to mention that. That is huge. I know out on the farm when I grew up, and my dad still has chickens to this day, there aren't any ticks around the farmhouse area.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they do a great job of ticking off the wood ticks, I guess.
Yes. And I maintain there's no better tick control than having some chickens around. So.
Yeah. So. I just wanted to bring those 2 points up.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. That was a good line, too, by the way. Let's go to Al. He's on line 7 with Dr. Doreen Winning here. The Vet Is In. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, hi. You know, the snowstorm in South Dakota,
yeah,
that was the same week as the Buffalo Roundup. But they didn't say nothing about the kill of the buffaloes. I wonder how they fared.
You know, I didn't hear either, and it would be interesting to find out because... you know, I think I did see some news reports of dead buffalo, but I don't know if anybody knows that. Call in and let us know. It'd be interesting to see what the survival rates of buffalo were versus domestic cattle.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Al.
Thank you.
We'll try to look that up here, too, maybe, and maybe pass that on a little bit later on. So the death of the cattle, obviously very, very horrific, but even more horrific was this pony death, Shetland pony death out in... I can't remember the name of the town now, but
yeah,
near Botno. It's just, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard that story in the morning.
Right. And, you know, it makes me sick as a veterinarian and trying to take care of these animals and doing what's right for the animal. And you have people going out there and chasing down a tame pony who would come to you anyway and chasing it down to the point where it's exhausted, running it over and then hooking it up to your vehicle and dragging it until it's dead. It's hard to understand, to be honest with you. And I hope they do catch these people. And I'm so thankful that North Dakota got new legislation passed last session. And now we can know that these people will be punished appropriately if they do get caught.
I was very surprised. You heard about the horrific story, but this pony, only 38 inches high, actually jumped in the family van to go for rides.
Yeah.
I mean, you just never hear of something like that happening.
Right.
This was a tame animal.
It was a pet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So, yes, I'm keeping my fingers crossed they catch this person or persons.
Yes, this person should be exposed to a felony now instead of just a misdemeanor.
And you know what always bugs me? Somebody knows.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you come forward with that? I mean, I would think that the guilt would be... so strong in some of these cases where you've hurt an innocent being. And I don't care if it's, you know, a child or a dog or a pony or whatever. You know, it's terrible.
And the reward has gone up again.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I just heard that now.
So anyway, if you know something, call your local authorities. We have one more quick little note here. You want to talk about choke collars for just a second?
I do, because I read an article about this recently. It was a case study on a dog who had neurologic deficits, meaning it couldn't use its legs appropriately. And they worked it up and they couldn't figure out what had happened to this dog. And then it came out that the owner was using a choke collar. And basically what the owner was doing was he was correcting his dog by picking it up with a choke collar and hanging it there for a certain number of seconds, and then setting it down again. And this is what he called, quote, correcting his dog. And choke collars, to me, you know, they can have their place if you're using them appropriately, but most people don't realize the harm they can cause their pets. And I feel like with one of my dogs, I definitely, before I knew any better, I put a choke collar on one of my dachshunds, and I think that is the reason why he had neck problems for the rest of his life and eventually needed surgery. So be careful with choke collars. I've also seen people keep choke collars on their dog during the day when they're at work and the dog getting hung up on something in the house and just strangling themselves to death. I have seen it happen. So be careful about that. And choke collars are meant for going on a walk, nothing more than that.
And some of the bigger dogs, you have the spiked ones too.
Right.
Those are even... I mean, I've had to use them for our big labs and stuff because it just couldn't handle those regular
ones.
Well,
and they make, Bob, they make caps, too, to put on them so they don't prong into their neck, dig into their neck so much. So some people do buy the caps to put on those prongs as well.
Now, we only have 2 minutes left. I wanted you to tell the folks what's going to be happening over there for Halloween at the Valley Veterinary Hospital.
So at Valley Vet, typically every Halloween we will have a costume contest, and our tech... Allison actually is putting on a Halloween costume contest for all the dogs and cats and hamsters. And 1 year we even had a gerbil 1 year. So
I got a friend who's got a bearded lizard.
Yeah, bring him in with a costume. You never know. There's going to be lots of fun prizes and a lot of laughs too. So if I dressed up my dogs 1 year, Dahlia, who is the biggest tomboy female dachshund there ever was a fairy. And Doobie, who hates squirrels, I put him through the humiliation of being a squirrel that year. So I had my fairy and my squirrel fighting in my lobby.
And what are the hours for that? What that's going to happen?
You know, I think it's all day through Halloween.
Okay.
But you can check our Facebook page and you can check our website, valleyveterinary.net.
Okay. And the phone number, if people want any more information.
Valley Veterinary Hospital is 232-3391.
And your location?
3210 Main Avenue.
Okay. My sister's dog had 8 puppies.
Yeah, so there's some puppies up for adoption in town. They're Pekingese cross.
Yeah, it's going to be about another 7 or 8 weeks yet. So
if she lets them go.
If she lets them go. One is already spoken for. But by the way, folks, this was a dog that she got, drove 350 miles for, and the lady said, oh, yeah, she's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
No, she wasn't. Doctor, thank you so much. We'll see you next month.
Thank you so much, Bob.
This is